Welcome to Simple Living Works. I'm Jerry Iverson. I'm pleased to be your host for Whose Birthday? Featuring audio selections from Simple Living Works' signature publication, the annual for individuals, families, and congregations, Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue. We've produced a real treasure trove of audio, video, and text resources for you, your family, and your congregation or group. We do promote alternative giving. See the link in the show notes for the guidelines for year-round alternative giving, as well as the classic Christmas versions. Basically, alternative giving means giving away at least 25% of what you spent last year on all celebrations, Christmas, birthdays, etc., to national, local, and international causes. Our mission is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. All three parts of our mission are especially wrapped up in our resources for Advent and Christmas, when consumerism is at its peak, when we need reminders both to be charitable instead of spending so much on ourselves, and to challenge the systems that make charity necessary, and to celebrate in simple ways that focus on relationships instead of stuff. Our site contains familiar titles, such as Unplug the Christmas Machine Workshop, Carols with Justice, The Celebration Revolution of Alexander Scrooge, What Does Jesus Want for Christmas, and many more. Check out our extensive resource index. The link is given in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Much of Whose Birthday is also available in Spanish text. Please share it with your Spanish-speaking friends. See the link in the show notes. This short series is different from the previous year's Whose Birthday podcast series, which, by the way, are still available in our site. If you missed them or would like to hear them again, visit simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, click Preview, Backup. In this episode, I present part of an audio adaptation of the well-known Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? I hope you listen to the entire series, though each episode is self-contained. The series contains reflections and activities designed especially for the weeks of Advent and Christmas, including the Feast of the Epiphany. We'll have guest voices and writers, some well-known, some lesser-known. Links to the numerous references in this episode are in the show notes. I'll let you in on a little secret. All 4 episodes of this series are already produced and available at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, in the Preview Backup Index. So if you don't want to wait for each to be released in iTunes or Stitcher, visit the site and listen to all or some of the series. This series comes from edition number 20, which is based on the liturgical cycle A, the Gospel of Matthew, the same as this Christmas and Advent. Note, this edition, unlike the previous ones, does not contain a daily calendar. However, there are some 20 to choose from in our archives.
Away in a Stank Manger by Shane Claiborne. The Department of Licenses and Inspections, L&I, visits us on occasion at the Simple Way community to cut down our endangered trees, to fine us for cracks in the sidewalk, or to let us know, according to city ordinance, it is illegal to invite guests into your home to eat. For the record, most of you are also criminals for the same reason. It could all make for a great sitcom. But here's the newest twist. Our inspector's name is Jesus. He's not a Galilean peasant, but a young, clean-cut Latino guy from North Philly. But that's not all. Our lawyer handling these theatrics with the city is a friend named Ralph Pincus, who also happens to be Jewish, and one of the best real estate lawyers in the city, thanks be to Yahweh. Ralph and I were joking the other day, and he said, giggling, "Well, Jesus isn't helping you out of this one." We laughed hysterically, and you can imagine we've kept the Jesus jokes rolling ever since. It is just like our God to use a Jewish lawyer to save a Christian nonprofit from violating the codes of an inspector named Jesus here in the city of brotherly love. Ha! All this makes me think of the riddles and stunts pulled by Jesus, of Nazareth, not of L&I, back in the day. Pulling money out of the mouth of a fish, reducing mammon to fish food, letting everyone know that money may have Caesar's image on it, but Caesar has God's image on him. Money may come from the mouth of a fish, but fish came from the mouth of God. Yes! Sometimes I'd like to tell the L&I inspector to go catch a fish and it'll pay the fine for us, but there's no lake nearby. Or how about Jesus telling parables like the Good Samaritan, where the heroes were heretics and outcasts? Peasants who proved powerful in the face of negligent kings. Sinners who proved faithful in the face of apathetic priests. beggars who proved wealthy in the face of thirsty rich folks. As I've been studying the early church, I'm reminded of all the radical conversions. Justin, martyred in 165 AD, wrote this to the early followers of the way. "We ourselves were well conversant with war, murder, and everything evil. But all of us throughout the whole wide earth have traded in our weapons of war. We've exchanged our swords for plowshares, our spears for farm tools. I see a lot of people trading in their swords. There are the obvious ones, the terrorist Saul of Tarsus, Simon the Zealot Revolutionary. But I've seen some new ones this year. I keep being surprised by God at work where I least expect it, over and over. A soldier who was on the ship that fires missiles into Iraq came forward at an altar call I gave, praying for God to disarm him. A millionaire gave his company away and now works with folks dying of AIDS. A young girl was raped and asked us to help her seek restorative justice that would heal her attackers rather than punish them. A lady whose family members were killed on September 11th came up to me at a conference and said she wanted to join the hundreds of other victims of 9/11 crying out for peace. Two former CIA analysts I got to talk to for hours and hours about Iraq, the church, and our lover have fallen in love with God afresh. A soldier returning from war said he had risked his life for an American lifestyle that he no longer believes in and that the world can no longer afford. The world is groaning this Christmas. The world is groaning in the pains of childbirth, as the scriptures say. We're not simply celebrating the birth of a baby 2,000 years ago. We are also in labor, giving birth to the kingdom of God on earth. This month we are having a Christmas service entitled Away in a Stank Manger to remind ourselves that the birth of Jesus was not pretty. Children were being killed by Herod. Jesus' family was forced to flee, born a baby refugee on the run from oppressive rulers, born literally in the dung of our world. A pastor friend of mine, Wayne Gordon of Lawndale Community Church in Chicago, told me a story. He'd become so troubled by all the distractions of Christmas, buying, decorating, indulging, he struggled with what to do for their Christmas service and stay true to the story. He decided to remind everyone of the filthy reality of the Christ birth. So before the service, instead of decorating as usual, he spread out cow manure under all the pews. As people came in and sat down dressed in their best attire, they looked at each other awkwardly, as if someone needed some antacids. At first, people squirmed and shifted uncomfortably. As time went on, they mystically remembered the lowly life of the homeless baby. This is the Jesus we celebrate at Christmas, the one who was born in a stank manger, who told stories where Jewish lawyers and Samaritan women could be heroes. How encouraging, as my troubles come from Jesus of L&I, and as my hope keeps coming from reborn soldiers. Everyone was surprised, scandalized by the one who rolled around in the dirt with children. We celebrate the one who refused the temptation to call fire down from heaven and died the detestable execution reserved for traitors, insurrectionists, bandits, and failed messiahs, with the world mocking, laughing, spitting on him. Indeed, we will undoubtedly find ourselves much more likely to meet Jesus this Christmas in the stench of manure or the filth of the ghetto than we are to meet him in the best decorated sanctuary or the most festive shopping mall. Prayer. O God, help us remember that Jesus was born in simple surroundings. Give us the enlightenment and courage to celebrate his birth with reverence and simplicity. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Discussion questions. 1. How would you and your congregation react if the minister put manure under the pews? 2. Do you and your family struggle with your celebration of Christmas, meal, budget, traditions, gifts? If not, why not? 3. Does the simplicity of the surroundings of Jesus' birth comfort you or condemn the commercialism of modern Christmas celebrations? 4. What are you willing to do to counter the growth of the commercialism of Christmas? What conversations are you willing to have with your family and friends about it? Shane Claiborne is the author of The Irresistible Revolution and co-founder of the Simple Way Community in Philadelphia. If you enjoy this article, you'll also enjoy these resources. Tony and Shane's DVD, or The Irresistible Revolution, or Unplug the Christmas Machine.
Connecting at Christmas, A Memory of Warm Springs Chapel, by Becky Garrison. John, chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. When I was 12, my late father served as a supply priest at Warm Springs Chapel in the Warm Springs, Georgia, hospital. The highlights of these trips were serving occasionally as my father's acolyte and partaking of the free buffet afterwards. The rows of congregants in wheelchairs failed to capture the attention of this self-absorbed preteen. On Christmas Eve, I was in a really foul mood. For starters, an older acolyte was allowed to robe for the service. Someone was concerned that as a kid, I might accidentally set the chapel on fire in the middle of this serene candlelight service. Also, I had just been informed that I wasn't getting some of the presents I had put on my Christmas gift list. And to top it off, there wasn't even a free buffet afterwards. Right after the congregations had received communion, the chapel doors opened. The candles reflected the bright hospital white color that filled the sanctuary as hospital staffers escorted patients in stretchers down the aisle. When I saw one young man who was close to my age smile as he received the body and blood of Christ, I felt ashamed. Here I was, having this pity party, when these people, who couldn't even get out of their beds, had a glow about them. I saw how they possessed the gift of Christ's love, and in that moment I realized that that was the one gift that really mattered. Prayer. Dear God, help us see the gift that you give us at Christmas time is the promise of salvation. Remind us that your gift is more valuable than any other gift I may receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Discussion questions. Number 1. What does it mean to be a child of God? Number 2. Describe an experience when you've received the gift of Christ's love. What can we learn about God and our faith from people who are physically or mentally challenged? Number 3. Who in your community may be homebound or away from their families during this Advent season? How can you reach out to them? Check out wheretoturn.org to see how a local grassroots group put their faith into action helping those in need. Number 4. What does "live simply that others may simply live" mean to you? Becky Garrison is author of Red and Blue God, Black and Blue Church, and senior contributing editor for The Wittenberg Door. If you enjoyed this article, you'll also enjoy these resources. What Does Jesus Want for Christmas? Pageant and Music CD. Or Cloth for the Cradle from Iona Wild Goose Worship Group. Or Shine On Star of Bethlehem Worship Resources. 12 Days of Christmas Activity Envelopes by Barbara Howard. As a gift to our friends and family this year, we put together intergenerational activities for each of the 12 days of Christmas. We put one activity per envelope per day and decorated the outside of each envelope with clip art we found on the computer. Those living farther away received their activities via email. We started with an envelope for Christmas Day explaining the unique gift. We often forget that Christmas celebrations begin on December 25th and continue until January 6th, the Epiphany. As a gift to you, because we know you don't need more stuff, we put together some activities for your family to do. Don't worry, they're simple and they can travel with you. The feedback the stack of envelopes tied with a ribbon was positive. Many are saving their activities to do again next year. Here are some sample activities. December 26th. The first day of Christmas. To show the travels of the kings and the shepherds, move them far enough away from the Nativity that they can move a little closer for each of the 12 days arriving on the Epiphany, January 6th. If you're visiting a relative's house, be sure to ask them if you can use their Nativity or bring yours and have them share in the fun. Talking point. Looking back over Christmas Day, have each family member share their most memorable or special moment. Consider keeping these memories in a Christmas journal you write in each year. December 29th, the fourth day of Christmas. Move the three kings and the shepherds and sheep closer to the Nativity today. Just for you. Often we are our own worst critics. We tell ourselves so many negative things. Be honest with yourself today and think about four gifts you feel God has given you, or four things that you can do really well. Share out loud or not, but at least write them down so you can read them again when you're feeling sad or discouraged. Remember, God says, "You are mine." December 30th, the fifth day of Christmas. Move the three kings and the shepherds and sheep closer to the Nativity today. High five! Give a high five along with a thank you to each person who does something nice for you today. Try to give out at least five, or challenge yourself to give out five for each person in your family. For a complete set of cards, visit Whose Birthday 2007, and then bonus. If you enjoyed this article, you'll also enjoy these resources. Christmas Angels, Garland and Calendar. Or, What Kids Really Want That Money Can't Buy.
Epiphany Celebration by Barbara Howard of Mooresville, North Carolina. Last year, we opened our family's Epiphany Celebration to our entire parish, our first ever Epiphany dinner and celebration. The focus of the evening was to write down our gifts to Jesus for the new year and present our gifts, rolled like scrolls, to Jesus at the Nativity. After dinner, crown making, and entertainment provided by our teen band, we processed to the church, gifts in hand, singing We Three Kings. After reading from Matthew, we presented our gifts. Upon leaving, each family received the light of Christ in the form of a votive to take home. Everyone was also encouraged to take a different route home, just like the Magi. Once home, the light of Christ was to be carried into each room, inviting Jesus to be with them in that room throughout the new year. The event was such a hit that we are now doing it each year. This year, our entertainment was provided by our special needs family support group and our Hispanic ministry, who also provided us with a live nativity. Having a celebration to end the 12 days of Christmas has really made a difference in both my immediate family and my church family. The focus for us now is not on the easily broken New Year's resolutions, but on the everlasting gifts that we give back to God and Jesus with gratitude. If you enjoyed this article, you'll also enjoy these resources. Treasury of Celebrations. Create celebrations that reflect your values and don't cost the earth. Or Simply in Season Cookbook and Simply in Season Children's Cookbook.
Simple Candle Lighting Ritual by Meg Cox. To celebrate Christmas with her extended family, one grandmother I know performs a simple ritual in a room where all the lights have been turned off. Each person in the family is given an unlit candle and they stand in a circle. One candle is lit, and then that person lights the candle of the person next to him or her, and so on around the circle, with extra help and supervision for children. The entire family sings one verse of Silent Night, then everyone blows out their candles all at once and shares a moment of silence. Lovely. If you enjoyed this article, you'll also enjoy these resources. The Mini Book of New Family Traditions, or Celebrate Simply, or Wedding Alternatives.
Breaking the Rules by Aidan Enns. Mark chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick, I have to call not the righteous, but sinners." Especially at Christmas, we North Americans engage in a lot of shopping. When middle-class religious leaders drive fancy cars, wear the latest fashion, use new technology, and talk with glee about Christmas presents, they plainly bless our consumer society. Some of us decided to sing a different song. Last Christmas, a group of us sang anti-shopping carols outside major shopping centers, and we got into trouble with the authorities. Jesus got into trouble with the leaders of his day for transgressing their codes for upright behavior. He dined with tax collectors and sinners, which made him unclean in the eyes of religious law. He justified his breaking of the norms for ethical conduct because the norms were not serving those who need serving. When we live in a society so saturated with consumer messages, perhaps the spirit of Christmas is to inject a simple message of fun, creativity, and generosity without all the shopping. Is it possible? Of course it is. You can make, bake, and share things you already have. You can give vouchers, create meals, or hold special celebrations of songs and stories. Prayer. Dear God, help us overcome the temptation to love things more than people. Help us discover divine love in simple acts of compassion and celebration. Discussion questions. 1. Why do you think Jesus ate with sinners and broke religious rules? 2. What religious rules are helpful? Which need questioning? 3. According to religious leaders, Jesus reclined with outcasts. What would similar behavior look like today? Carols by Eric Avery, courtesy the Center for a New American Dream at newdream.org. For more lyrics, visit buynothingchristmas.org. Click on Resources. Consumer Wonderland, to the tune of Winter Wonderland. Uh-oh, we're in the Red Deer, to the tune of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Prophets Here, to the tune of Jingle Bells. Buy and Sell, to the tune of Silver Bells. Carol of the Toys, to the tune of Carol of the Bells. And Slow Down, Ye Frantic Shoppers, to the tune of God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Slow down, ye frantic shoppers, for there's something we must say. If you would spare a moment, all the stores would go away. Big business has been telling us what Christmas means today. Now it's time we decided for ourselves, for ourselves. Yes, it's time we decided for ourselves. To some folks, Christmas means a time for gathering with friends and enemies might take it as a time to make amends. But TV says it's time for pricey gifts and selfish ends. Now it's time we decided for ourselves, for ourselves. Yes, it's time we decided for ourselves. Some people feel that Christmas is when Jesus makes a call. For others, it's a time to stress goodwill and peace to all. But advertisers tell us it means Santa's at the mall. Now it's time we decided for ourselves, for ourselves. Yes, it's time we decided for ourselves. Aiden Enns is the publisher of G's Magazine, Holy Mischief in a Time of Fast Faith, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. He is also the co-founder of BuyNothingChristmas.org. If you enjoyed this article, you'll also enjoy these resources. Carols with Justice booklet and music CD. Or Sing Justice, Do Justice booklet and music CD. Or The Good Life Curriculum and music CD.
You've been listening to one part of the audio version of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? The text for all these items are available through the links in the show notes. Go to simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. You're welcome to contribute to the online edition of Whose Birthday This Year is number 28. It is updated as new material comes in, so send ideas and items anytime. Prepare something now while it's really on your mind, such as art. Art that depicts the tension between faith and culture, especially at Christmas. Personal experiences, especially intergenerational ones, related to simplifying Christmas or finding meaning and happiness in relationships instead of stuff. Family activities, rituals, or worshipful ceremonies for Advent, Christmas, or Epiphany. We reach many through our website, blogs, and other media. Sorry, we cannot pay for any submissions. To read the complete submission guidelines and past editions, use the link in the show notes. We get positive response to this podcast and to our blogs. I'll present some in a future episode. In the meantime, read them on the Simple Living Works website. The address is given in the show notes. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on the Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes. After this short series, we'll return to our interview format. Time to wrap up with this episode of Simple Living Works podcast. If you're new to Simple Living Works and would like more basic information, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview, Backup, and choose the episodes you want with or without show notes. Subscriptions to this podcast and to our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to the other podcast, which I produce, the Common Good Podcast. I co-host that with Jubilee One Earth Economics. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike License. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive way of life. It's not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's need, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply, that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of Living More with Less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Come everyone who has thirst, those who have nothing come by. Why spend your labor for things that simply do not satisfy? Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. The bread in your cupboard belongs to one who is hungry out there, and the coats in your closet unused could warm up the ones who stand bare. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. See how the wealth you acquire is borne on the backs of the poor, whose children beg daily for food, whose land feeds your child who wants more. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Your children who need their own rooms lament that the forest will die, and those who would join field to field must stop long enough to ask why. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. God chose the weak of the world to shame the way of the strong. Learn how to live from the poor. Their wisdom will help us belong. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Do not conform to the world. Be certain that better's not more. Contentment will transform your need, awakening what God has in store. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.